for coming. Before I start, and I don't know where to start, but I guess I'll start with the latest. I thank you for that gift. We were not expecting that. And I know there are many, many places that that money could go and help people, but we're grateful and we thank you for your kindness. Also, thank you for your prayers and your texts and your calls and your visits during the last few weeks. I always thought it'd be nice be a time when you can, I guess you call it retirement, but when you can just sit in your chair and if you want to, any time of the day, and you don't have to feel guilty. You have that choice, that freedom. I found out that it's not as quite the same as I thought in my mind, in actual reality. It gets pretty long, it gets sort of boring, and pretty soon it's like, I got to do something. So I'm grateful that the doctor said I can go back to work. And so in case you don't like to work, thank God that you're able, is all I can tell you, because it is a privilege, and it's something that we as humans were designed to do. We weren't designed to just sit around and get old, but we were designed to do things and do it for the kingdom of God. And so, anyway, this morning it's a special day. It's a special service, and especially for Kendall, Caitlin, and Brooklyn. Most of us that have experienced this, our minds are going back to the day when it was us. And for some of you, it has to go back a long way. So maybe you can't remember. I don't know. But I think most of us do. It's something you don't forget. It's a great highlight in your life. And it's something that is it's so meaningful in our Christian experience. And so it's not something we just take lightly or that just we forget. So we, along with you, celebrate your decision of and your choice. And we are happy and we are glad for what you are doing today. And so I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to give you some. We want to look at baptism and the meaning of it, the purpose, the need of it, the purpose of it, and so on. And what the Bible has to say about it. And there's a lot in the Bible that I'm not going to have time to turn to. But I trust you, you can study it and read it for yourself as well. So baptism in the kingdom of God is a big thing. Back from the time of the early church, and even before that, John the Baptist came on the scene, and he was baptizing and preaching and drawing people's hearts together, getting them ready for Jesus to come on the scene and his ministry as the Messiah. You can turn to Matthew 3. I'm going to read 13 through 17. That will be our text. And then there will be numerous other scriptures that I will turn to. And I've titled this, The Need and Purpose for Baptism. So mainly I want to talk to these three young people, but at the same time, it is for all of us and a reminder for all of us. And then maybe for the younger ones that are looking forward to this step, to encourage you to see the importance and the need to do that, and how the kingdom of God in heaven, the heart's desire of the kingdom of those in heaven, what it means to them, when we on earth decide and choose to follow God's way. Let's read, starting with verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Just prior to this, the verses prior to this, is where John the Baptist is coming on the scene. He was called to go out and prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. And if we go back to verse 11, yes, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John felt very unworthy, and as you read the rest of those verses, John wasn't a kind of person that would fit on the typical TV preacher today. He wasn't dazzled with fine clothing and all kinds of jewelry and expensive background and so on. He was a very primitive kind of person, dressed with camel's hair and a leather girdle. I don't know what that would look like, but I think it would look pretty crude even today. And then his food was locust and wild honey. When's the last time you had that for your dessert? And so, but John's call wasn't here to live in luxury. His call was here to prepare the way for the Messiah. And he was faithful to that. And it says that all Jerusalem and all round about Judea, people came out. There was something that it wasn't his appearance that was so attractive, but it was a message that he gave. That people were looking forward to, they had heard there's a Messiah coming. They didn't know when this is going to be. And so to them, I think it was something, oh, this is what we've been waiting for, and we want to do that. Did they totally understand it? No, I don't believe they did. But they did in obedience, they moved. And so then Jesus comes and on the scene, and John sees him. I can just picture how John must have felt. It's like, oh, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. I'm not worthy. He says, I'm not even worthy to unlatch your sandals, let alone to baptize you. But Jesus answered, I love what he said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus understood why he came. He understood what his ministry was. He understood what he was to do. And so this was one of the things that needed to happen for various reasons. And so I want to give you four reasons for Jesus' baptism. In verse 15, which I just read, to fulfill all righteousness, his baptism pointed to the fact that he was consecrated to God and officially approved by him. And verses 16 and 17 would bring that out. Because heaven recognized and heaven responded to what Jesus did in obedience. All God's righteous requirements for the Messiah were fully met in Jesus. That's number one reason. Number two, at Jesus' baptism, John publicly announced the arrival of the Messiah and the inception of his ministry. You can turn to John, St. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, this is just a side note, but for you young people and for each one of us, the statement that John made there, that this is, I saw it and I believe, this is the Son of God. It helps us when we verbalize and we confirm in our hearts that this is. Today, you young people, as you take this step, this is a monument in your life to where you can look back at when doubt comes into your life and different things, you can say, no. Back here in October 22nd, 2023, I did this. I was baptized. I said that I am going to and want to identify with Jesus Christ and his people. And you can stand on that and do not allow Satan to rock your boat. Number three, by his baptism, Jesus completely identified himself with humanity's sin and failure, though he himself needed no repentance or cleansing from sin. Hebrews 4:15 is a good verse for us to remember. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then he also becoming our substitute, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then number four, his baptism was an example to his followers. Don't you love it when someone teaches, preaches, whatever way, tells you something you should do and what you need to do, and then they themselves are an example in doing what they tell you to do? That is always goes a lot further than sometimes we say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. And that's not a very good example. But do as I do, as I follow Christ, is what Paul said. And so we will make mistakes and so on, and we will let people down, and we will disappoint. We will be disappointed, but remember, we are all made of the same thing, and so we need to allow for that. And so the need for baptism. Jesus didn't need to be baptized as far as spiritually for himself, but he needed to do it to set an example for the church and for his followers that were coming behind him and for us today. Because remember, Jesus was sinless, but we are sinful. We were born in sin, every one of us. It wasn't anything we did or could help ourselves. And so the Messiah, Jesus, came to remedy that problem. Baptism is a sign of our identification with Christ to the Christian community and the world. There's a lot of, in today's world, there are so many different thoughts and ideas that float around, that the things that the church held important and were and lived and practiced today are argued out or made of, seemed like to the point where the value of some of these doctrines are not as important or don't mean as much, or they're just sort of talked away. But baptism is a sign of identification. And if you go back into Acts, in the early foundation, the beginning of the church, there is a lot in Paul, in Peter's preaching. He many, many times he comes to the groups and he talks, repent and be baptized. And so it's been a part of God's design for the church. And the Bible will also tell us that baptism, the water isn't what saves us, but it is a symbol of what has taken place. And I'll probably get ahead of myself here if I'm not careful. So I'll try to stick to my notes a little better. But it is a sign of identification. We don't have to be ashamed. Today, you young people, you're saying that I am identifying with this group of people. And not just this group of people here at this church, but with the Christian community in general. I am a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I belong to Jesus Christ. And then you're telling the world that I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian, and I'm following God's way, because this is what Jesus said to do. There are other verses that I could turn to. I think I'll skip for now. And then, of course, another need. And as I did this, I looked at the need and the purpose. I probably got some of these turned around. So excuse me for that. I'm not the best person in organizing things together. But one reason, or a big reason, that we often turn to is for baptism, and not just baptism, but it's in proclaiming the message, is what Jesus said at the end of his life before he left in what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Most of the time we refer to that verse is in sending out missionaries when they're going far off, generally. That's what we think. As missionaries, go ye therefore. And so we think, okay, God, where do you want me to go? Maybe I should go to Haiti, or maybe I should go to Africa, or maybe I should go to Cambodia, or Ireland, or somewhere way off. And it does mean that. Don't get me wrong. That's exactly what he's saying. But you know what? For most of us, that's really not going to happen. For most of us, it's going to be, our go ye therefore is here. Might be New Holland, but it could be anywhere in the U.S. or wherever you find yourself. That's where. You as parents with children, I don't think there's any greater purpose or value or need than that you teach your children exactly what that verse is saying. We can teach other people as well, and that's our calling, but our calling first is to our family and to our children. Teach them. If you don't teach them, history would look so much different. If Hezekiah, I don't know where his son Manasseh was in those last 15 years of his life, but obviously he wasn't listening, or Hezekiah wasn't teaching. I don't know which. Because you look at when Manasseh becomes king after Hezekiah dies, he went back to where his grandpa would have been, and all the things Hezekiah did right, Manasseh did wrong. He was a terrible, evil king. And so, while we can do our best, isn't a guarantee as parents that our children are going to choose to do everything right. I understand that. But we need to do our part, and we need to do all that we can while we have that opportunity. And so, yes, today we are doing that. You know, there's some teaching going to follow these young people in the next months to come in helping them in their Christian life and helping them answer some questions and just to become established as young believers. But today they're taking that initial step, the one where they're going to be baptized and they're going to be identified with the body of Christ and Christ himself. Okay, the purpose, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized with Christ have put on Christ. As I said, you are identifying with Christ. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So we die to self and the world, and we live unto God through Jesus Christ. The water isn't going to wash your sins away. The water is simply a symbol of what has already taken place. In your confession and in your repentance to God, and I trust each of you have done that, that you are right with Jesus Christ. You're clear. And there's a verse that I would like to read, several verses, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A very familiar verse that many times is quoted when you are baptized, and the pastor would quote those words, and not necessarily always, but I remember hearing those in my lifetime many, many times. And so again, we aren't dead physically. We aren't buried in the ground like Jesus did, but it's a symbol again of identifying that coming out from under the water, we were dead as it were. We are dead to self and to our own carnal nature and desire, and then we come out in newness of life as Jesus arose from the dead with a new body and ascended. And so we walk with in a newness of life because we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us to empower us, to guide us, and to comfort us, and to direct us on our way through the words, the scriptures that God has given to us. Matthew 10:32. Again, is a beautiful verse, that whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. That's a beautiful verse that should excite you. I didn't sound very excited, did I? It should really excite you, and to the fact that heaven today is witnessing what we are doing. Can you imagine? You know, it's one thing when Jesus came out of the water, heaven opened up, the dove descended upon him. Well, the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, where John and the people around him actually could see it. I believe it was visible. And then God spoke. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. What greater thing could there be than that? God, the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, he recognized. Today, he recognizes Brooklyn, Caitlin, and Kendall. And heaven is rejoicing because of the step you are taking. You know, when I think of God, how big God is, how little I am. Why would God notice me? Maybe you think the same thing. But if I understand this verse, if we confess him before men, and that's what you're doing today, before this group of witnesses, Jesus said, I'm going to mention you before my Father in heaven. Wow. That should just about knock our socks off. That should really give us something to talk about, to shout about. And I'm grateful for that. Jesus didn't leave us without instructions. He didn't leave us without an example. He didn't leave us just to flounder out in life, but he gave us an example. And there are many, many verses, and I thought about, but I don't have time, that talks about Jesus being an example to us. In fact, one of them is in John 13, when he washed the disciples' feet. He said, I do this as an example to you. Now you do it to each other. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, to carry that out. So today, in closing, I want to give you, you know, everybody, at least boys, have a toolbox. They want to be like their dad, and they want a toolbox with some tools in it. Girls, I'm not sure. You need tools too. Maybe it's baking tools. I don't know. You might not need wrenches too much, but I don't know if you call it a box. I suppose I would call it a purse, maybe, because a lot of ladies' purses have everything from the refrigerator to whatever. Anything you might need, just like our toolboxes. Us men, we do that too. It gets pretty cluttered sometimes. So I will call it a tool chest. How is that? And I have some things that I found that are interesting and I think helpful to remind you in your Christian journey. And one thing that I almost forgot, one thing to remember, when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, he heard this great proclamation from his Father and the approval. What happened immediately after that? It says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Young people, today is a highlight. Probably one of the greatest highlights in your life. But don't be unaware. There is someone that is also observing what's happening today. And it's not just God in the heavenly realm, but it's also Satan and his demons are noticing what's going on. So be aware. You will have times of temptation. You will have times of doubt. You may have, I can't tell you what you'll have, but you may, because we're all different. But very likely, you will face some things that's like, really? I don't know. But I encourage you to take some of these things and then go to your tool chest and look. And your Bible is a part of that tool chest as well. But sometimes other things and books and writings help us and encourage us and give us some at exactly the right time, just like what Gina was sharing this morning. So I have some trust-building statements about God, and these are not original with me, but as I read them, I thought, yeah, I think that's pretty good. And so I'm going to give a copy of all this to each of you, so that you can put it in your chest or wherever you want to put it, and you can draw from it at different times in your life. The first one is, because God is a personal spirit, I will seek intimate fellowship with him. Number two, because God is all-powerful, he can help me with anything. And number three, because God is ever-present, he is always with me. Number four, because God knows everything, I will go to him with all my questions and concerns. Some of these are maybe a little harder to do than it is for me to read it, but I want you to remember that. God has answers, and he loves to hear our questions. Number five, because God is sovereign, I will joyfully submit to his will. Number six, because God is holy, I will devote myself to him in purity, worship, and service. Number seven, because God is absolute truth, I will believe what he says and live accordingly. Number eight, because God is righteous, I will live by his standards. And number nine, because God is just, he will always treat me fairly. Number 10, because God is love, he is unconditionally committed to my well-being. Number 11, because God is merciful, he forgives me of my sins when I sincerely confess them. Number 12, because God is faithful, I will trust him to always keep his promises. And number 13, because God never changes, my future is secure and eternal. I think those are some nuggets that will help you in different times. Read them and turn to them to help you. And then I have a few other things. Five gospel gotta-haves. I don't know if you men, if that rings a bell, if you were here at the last Perfecting Manhood meeting. I wasn't here, so I don't know what you talked about. But I read that chapter, and then I came, and that's what stood out to me. And he calls them, James MacDonald in his book, Five Gospel Gotta-Haves. And so I'm going to read them, and I thought, yeah, they're pretty good. Five words that every Christian should have and should believe. The first one is God. Well, I'll read God, sin, substitution, belief, and life are the words that he describes as you have to have as a Christian. God is the only creator, triune God, revealed in Scripture. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. And in John 14, 16, 17, it says, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Sin is our universal condition of separation from God. We're born as sinners, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Substitution is what God did in Christ on the cross to rescue us from sin. He took our place and our punishment as our perfect substitute. Colossians 2:13 and 14, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Belief is placing our whole trust in Christ alone for forgiveness and eternal life. Once we believe, we can stand firm in the faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then life is the present and future promise God gives to those who place their faith in his Son. John 10, 10b, the last part. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. A lot of good stuff in that. Not just for you young people, but for all of us, to remind us of really what Jesus did and why we are doing these. We are doing these things because Jesus told us we should and we need to. And by being obedient and doing that brings us peace, it brings us a clear conscience with God, and it just opens the door for a better relationship with Jesus Christ, something that everyone wants and needs as well. So, thank you, God bless you, and we will be praying for each one of you. And as your grandpa, one of them, I am I know we shouldn't say proud. So I am happy that you, each of you, have chosen to do this. And I'm also grateful that I was invited or asked or told, whichever, that I could do this to preach your sermon. And for a while, I wasn't sure that I was going to be able. But I am grateful that I'm here, that I'm able to do that, and I could be a part of that, even though it's just a small part, and anyone else could have done it. But I'm grateful that I had the privilege. So God bless you as we go forward.
You're in the South, Junior. You're allowed to be proud.
The Southern version of proud is a little different than we interpret it sometimes, but I agree. I am happy to be here this morning. And a couple things, and we talked about this, young people, earlier this morning, and I just want to reaffirm a couple things that Junior shared in this passage in Matthew 3. And I didn't know where he was going to go, and this actually, I had this marked to talk about this morning just a little bit. And there's a couple things that I see here in Jesus being baptized that Junior did talk about, and then I went a little different direction. But Jesus' response to John. John said, look, I'm the one that should be baptized. And in today's culture, if John would have been a TV preacher, he'd have been like, whoa, I get to baptize Jesus. I can advertise this. I can make some money off of this. John said, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus' response was, just do it. Just do it. Let it be done now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then we see the other events that happened there. Three things that I see here. Number one is the obedience. The obedience to do what God asks us to do. The second one is public confession. Jesus publicly said, this must happen to fulfill what is to happen next. The third one, I kind of pulled out of my hat here, and something that Miss Jan said the other Sunday night when we had communion, she said, you know, I've been here all these years, but this brings a sense of belonging. And this is what I believe is a very important part. It is a sense of belonging. I wish I could tell you this morning that this event will do away with all your problems. That it will do away with all temptation. It will do away with any struggles. It doesn't. But it gives you a sense of belonging. It gives you a group of people here this morning that you can go back to and say, I took this step of obedience. I made a public confession, and I have made a decision, and I know that God and this group of people will walk with me through that. One of the things that I have done, and I'm not saying that others haven't done it right, but one of the things for me as a young person, there were times of doubt, and I struggled with doubt. And one of the things that I have done in at least the last number of baptisms that we have done is on the inside leaf of this book, I put a date. And I want you, when you struggle, when you're not sure why, what, when, where, just go back and look at that date and say, you can say, Satan, on that day, I publicly made a confession that I put my faith and trust in Christ. Doesn't mean he's not going to argue with you, but you have something firm that you, in your mind, can use as a tool against that. So I am going to ask you to come. I don't know. I told them girls first, so I'm not sure which one of the girls is going to be first. And they're going to share their testimony with you, And then we will ask them these questions, and then we will go to the river. Okay? You guys will come.
Just all three come. That way you're not up here alone. You're first in line. Go ahead. I don't.
I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was around 4 years old. Since then, my desire has been to live for Him, to live for Christ and serve Him. As I continue to mature, I am noticing spiritual growth in my life. I'm thankful for family, friends, and this church who are helping me grow in my relationship with Christ. To me, baptism is publicly showing my life and commitment to Christ. I'm excited to continue growing spiritually and to see where the Lord leads me in life. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful for Jesus dying on the cross for me so that I can have eternal life.
In September of 2017, I accepted Christ when I was 7 during Hurricane Irma. It was so stormy and windy that I was scared that I was going to die from the storm, and I didn't want to go to hell. I believe that I'm going to heaven now because I have the promise of eternal life if I believe in Jesus Christ. God has kept me safe and helped me when I've been scared. He has guided me through hard times and pushed me to do the right things. I've been so blessed by God, and I'm so thankful for everything He has done for me. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust.
At the age of 6, I accepted Jesus into my heart. My mom asked me a couple questions, and I asked Jesus into my heart. A verse I like is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." The reason I like this verse is because it says that if I sin, but I believe in God that He will forgive me and I ask Him to forgive me, that He will forgive me. I am thankful for having godly parents who teach me about Jesus so that I know I will go to heaven someday.
All right, I have 4 questions for the applicants, and then I have 1 response from you as a congregation. And I'm going to ask Janet, since Phyllis is not here, when that's all done, if you would come up and greet the girls. And then, Reuben, if you would have a chorus, and then we'll close with a prayer. And then go to the river. Do you believe in one true God who is known to us as God, the Father, the Creator of all things visible and invisible, as Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, who by His death on the cross made atonement for our sin and by His resurrection brought us into eternal life, and as the Holy Spirit who is to us an abiding comforter and our guide into all truth? Have you personally received Christ as personal Savior and Lord? And are you now sorry for your past sin and rebellion? Are you willing to lay aside all known evil from your life and to submit yourself in obedience to Christ and His Word? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be counted a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become a member of His church and to fellowship with this congregation? Do you promise by the grace of God that you will be a submissive and loyal member of this congregation and share as a true brother or sister the fortunes or misfortunes of the people of God and dedicate the talents which God has given you to the service of Christ and His church? To you, congregation at New Holland, you have heard the confession and the promises of these applicants. Are you willing to receive them into the fellowship of this congregation? And do you promise by the grace of God to receive them in love, to encourage them in the Christian life, give them faithful counsel, and to be true to them in prayer? And if you do, would you stand?
the three of you, I understand and I realize that at your age, like I said this morning, even at my age, I don't always understand what God is asking me to do. But by faith, you see all these people that have stood, who are witnessing the step that you've taken this morning. So in the name of Christ in this church, I give you the right hand of fellowship and welcome you to the worship, fellowship, and witness of New Holland Elementary. All right, Reuben, let's have a chorus and then we'll close with prayer. And a couple just quick announcements on down at the river. This morning, we are grateful for the promise that you are with us, that you love us, you care for us, you loved us enough that you gave your life willingly, that we today can live lives that are full, that are meaningful, and that you give us life. And Father, we understand that today is an important day in the lives of these young people, and it's an important day in the life of our church. As we celebrate, as we recognize that you are still God and that you are still calling people to yourself, help us to be reminded of that. Help us to be reminded that the people we interact with day in and day out are either on a journey to heaven or on a journey to hell. And help us to see that and see the urgency of knowing that we may be the one, that one person in a journey or a sequence of sharing the gospel with them and helping them to have purpose in life. And this morning I pray for Brooklyn, for Caitlin, and for Kendall. And as we as a church walk with them, bless their families as they guide them and walk with them as well. But help us as a church to mentor, to love, to cherish them, and to allow them to grow as young people, to allow them to grow in their walk with you. Would you go with us this week? Help us to honor you in all that we do or say. In Jesus' name, amen.